Support for this public radio podcast comes from Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
You are listening to the Loopcast for August 11th, 2007, and I'm Jeff Horwich. Sandin Totten back with us this week.
Hey, everybody.
Sandin, glad to have you back. We had to put the Loopcast together without you last week. A little bit of our bridge coverage, since the bridge collapse was what was on everybody's minds and everybody's plates during that time. Yep. And you had to run around and do a little of that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was out and about action reporting for a while.
Yeah, as opposed to sitting around your desk staring at your computer, which is what we do too much of the time. It seems like it was kind of interesting for me as well to kind of be out hustling, trying to pick up tape and just look past police barricades and see what was going on. Just like old times again. You've also been working on this other project called Songs from Scratch, which is not directly linked to our show, but it's kind of related to it. And I thought we'd dedicate the Loopcast to that today. It's all about three words that I think bring joy to the hearts of radio or podcast listeners. Listener-generated music.
I thought you were going to say free tote bag.
Maybe next time. But in this case, we have Larissa Anderson with us, and this whole thing was Larissa's idea, so thought it'd be fun to have her come in to the Loopcast and tell us about how it worked and help take us through some of these submissions that we've gotten. So, Larissa, thanks for coming.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
So what's the concept, the mechanics behind the Songs from Scratch thing?
Well, the idea was to create a kind of songwriting laboratory. We wanted to try to figure out some way where we could really get into the heart of how you make a song, what it takes to make a song. So we got this poet, this great poet, to write some song lyrics for us, and he was fabulous because he was a rock music fanatic, but he doesn't do it for a profession, so we thought he'd be able to let us learn along with him. Then we also got three career musicians, three local bands that do this for a living, and we gave them the same set of lyrics. We told them they had 2 weeks to write a song, and then at the end of 2 weeks, they'd come in and record their final product, and they would let us document them the whole way through so we could really try to find out how they went from getting the lyrics to making a full-fledged song.
Cool. So we'll be playing their songs on the radio.
Yes.
They'll be featured in the stories. And how about the stuff that we're going to hear today on the podcast?
Well, true to the spirit of this project, if you're really going to create a laboratory, you need to get as many people contributing as you possibly can. So we posted the lyrics on our website, and we're asking anybody who can write a song or has access to recording equipment, anybody who's interested, who wants to take a stab, we're asking you to read the lyrics and make a song, record it, and send it to us.
So today we're going to feature some of the early submissions. What you're going to hear are various people putting their own individual musical spin on the same set of lyrics. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do we have up first?
Well, we got John Thompson that we think we'd start with. He sort of, I guess, showcases the amateur, I don't know, amateur is the right word, but sort of the do-it-yourself attitude of a lot of these people. He says he sort of recorded at his house, you know, and he was singing it so much, practicing it so much that he saw his kids kind of had learned the chorus of the song and they started singing it around the house. And, you know, his critic who helped him form the song was his wife, who when he tried to play it at first, she yawned. So he knew something wasn't working, and he tried it again, and came up with this song.
So we'll play that for you, or part of it anyway.
Yep.
And then we'll come back and talk a little more about it.
Chris Pollin patterns like a crowded pool. Nature starting up or shutting down. It's summer. Kids on skateboards. Door open, all contentment. Why in your future remember we were happy on the same weekday that made you start to cry? Take one, take two, and then take ten. You're to the crown for distant trains. Take five, take six from 11 and then our houses shake the ground again.
Perfect day, the one we leave behind. So much to do ahead, but I don't mind. Perfect day, the one we leave behind. So much to do ahead, but I don't mind.
Wow, John Thompson. Dang.
Rocking out.
Father of three.
Yeah.
With those as kids playing the drums and Glockenspiel and doing the harmony vocals.
The Thompson family band is rocking to that day.
Well, I loved that at the end when that Glockenspiel came in. He wrote on his submission that he worked at night when all his kids were in bed, and yet somehow they're still kind of, their spirit or somehow is still coming up at the end of the song.
You don't have to stop being a rock and roller just because you have a couple kids in the house.
Did that capture what you guys were hoping people would latch onto about this project?
Well, it definitely had a rocking out kind of chorus.
I noticed, in his comments to us, he sort of said that he hadn't picked up the guitar in a while because, as having kids, it's just something that wasn't on his mind. And I think for him, this was an exciting thing to sort of get back into songwriting and think about himself. And that's certainly something we wanted this project to get people thinking about, whether you're a seasoned songwriter doing it all the time or someone who's just maybe written one or two things, or written nothing, but just getting you to think about that process again and remember what goes into it. So, yeah, he totally got it. He totally met the spirit head on.
Well, and the other thing that he did that kind of captured it was he had a couple different versions. He started with some version that was boring his wife or making his wife yawn or something, and he even talked about how, there's an infinite number of ways a song can go, and he only wandered down one path, and that's exactly what the spirit of this project is.
Yeah.
So who's next?
Looks like our next person is Claudia Callahan. And she came at this project with a piano. She apparently had Betsy Kino on piano, and then she also had an engineer. She had Tom helping out engineering her,
wow,
her song.
This one is very different from, I think, any of the other submissions we've gotten so far. So,
okay, let's hear it. Claudia Callahan's take on it. That was That was wild.
It's one of the darkest versions of this song I've heard so far.
Yeah, I mean, she says here, "My intent was to write music that is beautiful and wondrous and not without sorrow, just as afternoons can be."
What's also interesting about her is that I think anytime someone starts changing lyrics on this song, that's when things start getting interesting.
Yeah, we noticed that, I guess, because we all have seen those lyrics or somebody listening to the first time. There's a point about halfway through when the lyrics kind of just go off the rails.
Right.
She's kind of making stuff up.
Well, yeah, she's writing something different than what was written, yeah.
Oh, more power to it. I call that making stuff up, but but it's kind of inspired by the lyrics of Stephen Burt.
But it's kind of cool. I like the things she changes. Like, for instance, one of the lines that everyone was sort of fascinated by in the band's experiences was the line that goes, I was the boy to be congratulated just for growing tall when I should have been the girl who walks through walls. And she changed it to, "You were the boy congratulated for growing tall. I was the girl congratulated for thinking small." Huh. And I don't know. I kind of like that.
And she escapes that sort of awkward thing in the lyrics where you declare yourself a boy in one sentence and a girl in another.
Yeah, which other people did too. I mean, we hear people change that line too in these songs. So
it's not an easy thing to do in a pop song where you've got this 50 years or something setting you up for these male-female relationships. And if you're a female, you can't use I or you can't be the man in the song or something like that.
You guys both write music and perform music. How did these strike you as kind of, let's say, pop lyrics? Did they feel comfortable to you both as musicians?
No.
Yeah. I would have been really intimidated. I think you could lose a tooth trying to get through all those lyrics. I mean, there's a lot of really hard syllable patterns and rhythms and stuff, so.
And just even the sounds of the words just don't seem to feel like they I mean, I get it. I get why people are saying it's hard to make these things fit. they're not simple or they're not rhythmic. And I don't know, but you know, the thing is, the poet said that he worked really hard at cutting back the lyrics. He made a point of saying, you know, song lyrics are supposed to leave room for the music to tell the story. And so in his mind, this set of lyrics, you know, he cut way back on words he might otherwise have used if he were writing a poem.
Well, like with John, the first guy we heard, I mean, he heard something sort of springy and fun in there.
Right.
Claudia did kind of a Tori Amos dark, moody piano kind of a thing.
She
takes it a very different direction.
Saw a darker thing in Stephen's lyrics than other people did. So,
one thing we told the bands, too, is that they, after their 2 weeks had finished, they had to record these songs live to tape. And so they had to prepare themselves to not overdub or layer in instruments or layer in extra vocals or things like that. Whereas some of these people, they don't have that same restriction. So there are people who wrote in songs that layered in all kinds of things.
Have we got one of those that we can play next? Or
yeah,
what do we
sure.
have next here?
Aaron's cymbal. So Aaron wrote in that he usually develops a single guitar riff. And then he kind of writes a song around that. But it looks like he layered in software drums, software bass, software orchestral strings.
Yep.
Software suite.
Yeah, he's got it all going on.
Okay, let's play it.
Thank you.
All right. What do you guys make of Aaron Cybill?
Well, Aaron's version sounds kind of like a laid-back, recline in your chair, put on a grass hat or something, and enjoy a song.
Yeah.
A grass hat.
That guitar riff is catchy. It was good.
Yeah, it's got kind of, I hate to use references, you know, from popular music that everybody knows. It's got kind of a Jack Johnson kind of a groove to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I appreciate about Aaron, too, is that he really was going for the spirit. He said that he read the lyrics to get inspiration, and he was really trying to capture the flow and the mood and all of that. I mean, I think the song, as far as I understand, is about this time passing kind of thing, and he seems to have a real relaxed approach to thinking about time passing, whereas the, you know, previous person saw it as a much more somber event.
I'm really impressed by the urge that people feel to put the extra instruments in. You know, I'd have thought, oh yeah, you get a lot of stuff when people just sit down and turn on a tape recorder and play guitar. Even the solo piano, I mean, that was really thought through.
Actually, the next song we got here sounds really professional, but the way they did it was they started actually with the drums and then
which is a really interesting thing to do. I mean, yeah. Most people, I think, start with some kind of melody-making machine, whether that's a piano or a guitar or something. But to start with a drum track.
You mean their process? Well, started first, they lay down the drums.
Well, from what we know, that's
of this
what...
song, yeah. We got very little information going. We got, this is John Saylor wrote to us, and he said, Dave Lennon from Army Defense is playing drums, took a drum track, wrote music over that, and then tried to match the lyrics. That's
wow.
Basically all we know, but it turned out great.
Began with drums. Okay, let's listen to this one. So John Saylor just has his buddy lay down like 2.5 minutes of drums,
yeah,
and then goes from there. That's pretty wild.
Must be, and he's got this great, playful bass line. It's just really this kind of ornate, fun.
Yeah, see, to me, the feeling he captured in the song totally is summer afternoon. You know, I get this like, it reminds me, he's got this like sound like the Cars kind of, which I think I totally associate with the summers. And he's got that shimmery chorus and the, you know, the background vocals, which just like, is like the audio equivalent to me of like, when light hits like a pool, you know, and you get all that like kind of blindness from so much sunlight from being out in the brightness. It's kind of, it's definitely, you know, all these people are talking about afternoons, but there's so many different ways you can run with the idea of an afternoon even. And his is definitely just sort of like, you know, party by the pool.
Kind of. It's like a psychedelia kind of effect.
Yeah, know, I liked it a lot.
The reverb. Is this,
you got a little pollen interference in your ears when you're.
Yeah.
I could tell this is one of your favorites.
Yeah, definitely. I could groove to this.
So more of these are still going to roll in, you're hoping, right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
we're just getting started.
Hoping that we'll get, you know, another 10, 20. Maybe we can put together a best of compilation album, you know, double disc thing. And sell it to finance the next year's Song from Scratch project.
Give it away as a pledge premium, right?
Yeah.
For $5 a month.
You can get all 20 versions of Afternoon Song.
Yeah. Well, let's try out one more that somebody sent in.
This was the first one that we got in. James Reck from the band Jailhouse Payback sent us this first submission.
All right.
And he said that this is actually how he usually writes songs. Someone in the band writes a set of lyrics, and then he just goes to town trying to get some music on it. I love this line that he sent in where he first read a couple of lines, and then he got excited about it, and he let the excitement marinate for 24 hours, which I wonder what that did to his songwriting. I don't know. He's playing acoustic guitar, acoustic bass guitar, electric lap steel guitar, harmonica, shaker, two different tambourines. I love someone's got two different tambourines. And he's also tapping on a ukulele to simulate conga sounds.
Wow. And remember, this is after letting it marinate for 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows what would have got to the beginning of
the two tambourines became essential. And he was like, yeah, this is a two tambourine number.
I think he must have scaled it down from four or five as he let his excitement sort of, all right, settle down. Settle down, man. Only two tambourines are necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's listen.
Chris Pollen interference patterns like a crowded pool. See nature starting up or shutting down. It's summer school. Kids on skateboards take residential corners fast. They watch each other like a comet from the distant past. How was a boy to be congratulated, growing tall, when I should have been the one who walks through walls? Take three, take four, you'll be compelled to tell the world who you adore. Take eight or nine, you're 17. The world looks back at you for seconds from behind a one-way screen. Three season porches with the car door open on contentment wide. In your future, you'll remember that we were happy on the same weekday that made you start to cry. Take one, take two, then take ten. Ear to the ground for distant trains. Take five, take six from 11, and then our houses shake the ground again. The perfect day is the one we leave behind. So much to do ahead, but I don't mind.
Kind of sounds like James Reck went off to Nashville for the weekend, got a bunch of studio musicians together, and cut a pretty high-quality track there.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. I like that, what is it, a slide guitar he's got going in there at some
lap
point?
Lap steel?
Yeah, that's the lap steel. Nice. Yeah, he's got a voice quality that I said while we were listening to it, you know, String Cheese Incident, which didn't mean anything to you guys, but he sounds just like the String Cheese Incident guy, which is great. I love String Cheese Incident.
He said he tried it the first time and it was too long, so we had to go back and tighten it up. And, you know, a complaint we got a lot was that some of these lines, there's just too many of them, there's too long, and some of them were really hard to work with. Especially, you know, in the series, crisp pollen interference patterns came up a lot as a particularly troublesome line. But then we got this one submission where someone seemed to take that on as the centerpiece to their song.
Gosh.
Jeff, you want to tell us a little bit about your number?
Well, as I saw you guys having so much fun with this, it was definitely like an appealing thing to have somebody just give you lyrics and say, all right, I got license to just go mess around and see what kind of a take I could put on it. So yeah, crisp pollen interference patterns like a crowded pool kind of became the mantra of the version that I put together.
Now, why did you pick that? Why did that become the mantra?
Because I have kind of an attitude, I guess. I don't know. I just wanted to take like the most difficult line in the thing and place it front and center. Maybe that's kind of a challenge. It certainly gives it kind of a mystical feel, because that line, what the heck does that mean? I don't know if anybody knows, but you take this line that's like the most difficult to understand, the most in some ways kind of abstract.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's up for debate in these lyrics, but and put that right out front. It sort of puts people at ease, I think. They realize that, okay, I should just sort of kick back and absorb this. I shouldn't even attempt to pretend like there's a storyline here that I'm going to follow or understand necessarily, just sort of kind of enjoy it for what it is.
Was it hard to come up with music for that? Or did you, when you wrote your song, was that the first line you had a melody for?
Yeah, and whether I even had a melody for it in the end is, I think, debatable. I was kind of, I made this the way that I make most of the music when I make music on my own, which is with a loop pedal. So I get a bunch of instruments around me, and then I just sort of start going. I pick up one instrument after another and have kind of a rough plan in my head. And in this case, that's what I did. I just started with one instrument and laid down little bits on top of it. So I wound up pulling out just one tambourine, but, you know, a drum, a ukulele, a melodica. There's a jaw harp in there. Yeah. So you can kind of hear them added one at a time. I did record this just kind of all in one shot. And I had to do a couple of takes to get the lyrics the way that I wanted them. I also thought, because I'd been messing around a little with kind of African rhythms and bass lines and stuff, I thought this would be a fun chance to kind of try that out. And it would give me something that could just really be flexible on top of with the lyrics and the meter and just kind of make it up as I went along, which is what I did as I taped the lyrics up to the basement wall in front of me.
Well, we really appreciate that you took part of the project and, you know, had the spirit to...
I had fun, but I'm feeling humbled after listening to all the other great stuff that you guys got. This is really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, should we let your song play out the Loopcast?
Sure. Why don't we just... We'll close with that and mention also, though, that it's still open for submissions, right?
We're taking submissions all the way through August. We hope to get submissions before the project starts or during the week that the project starts, which is August 13th.
Yeah, so the week most people will be listening to this, I guess. So submissions can still be rolling in. Go to minnesotapublicradio.org, search for Songs from Scratch.
Yep. In the shortcuts menu.
Yeah, and I guess we'll put a link somewhere on our blog, too, so keep an eye out for it there. Anyway, Larissa Anderson, this whole thing was your idea. I think it's a really cool concept, and well done.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in and sitting in a booth with us for half an hour and talking about your music.
My pleasure.
And Sandon?
Yeah, Jeff.
Have a good night. I don't know. What do you say to Sandon?
You
see each other
Jeff.
Every day. Thanks. Anyway, we're at minnesotapublicradio.org/in the loop if you want more information about us. I am Jeff Horwich, and yeah, here's my basement attempt at the tune.
just starting up or shutting down. It's summer school. Take the residential corner so fast. Hey, you kids, slow down. They watch each other like a comet from the distant past. You know, I was to be the boy congratulated just for growing tall. I was when I should have been the girl who walks, who walks, who walks, who walks through walls. Take three, take four, you'll be compelled to tell the world who you adore. Take 8 to 9, you're back at you for seconds from behind the one-way screen. The one-way screen. I say the perfect days, the one-way leave behind. You know, so much to do ahead, but I don't mind. Crisp pollen interference patterns like a crowded bubble. Crisp pollen interference patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo. Falling into the bitter's patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris falling into the bitter's patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris falling into the bitter's patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris falling into the bitter's patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo. Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo.
Who's jumping all of this pollen in my pole?
Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo.
Hey, you can't stop the dumping all the pollen in my pole.
Chris Pauling interference patterns like a crowded bobo.
I'm warning you for the last time.
Chris Pauling interference patterns like
your
a crowded
in
bobo.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286 horsepower TL Type S with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.